Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Well, today we're going to be talking about some, I don't know, kind of interesting topics that I think maybe our listeners might not really be familiar with. Maybe we're going to be talking about maybe some hybrids and grafting, just to sort of pique the interest of our listeners for now. But I do want to talk about a couple of things that are going on this weekend. Well, one thing going on this weekend is the Artovinos Farmers Market. It's going on through May, I believe, April or May. It's the winter spring market. And this is sort of a continuation of the farmers market that they had during the fall. They do have fall and winter organic produce, natural eggs and beef and pork and breads and salsas and all the other things that you normally find at the farmers market. And that market is from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. each Saturday. And happening a month from now on January 4th, the Mountain View Market Farm is going to be holding a Farm Fun for Kids workshop for kids 5 and up. They can learn about the different aspects of vegetable farming, learn about livestock, worm farming, composting. Basically, it's a good excuse for your kids to get out in the dirt and get dirty, which is something I don't think too many kids nowadays get to do anymore because they're indoors all the time. So this is a good excuse to let your kids run free and get their hands in the ground a little bit. And it'll be happening again on January the 4th. The workshop's $8 per child if you're a co-op member because it's presented by the Mountain View Market Co-op. $10 per child if you're a non-member, but you do have to chaperone your kids. You can't just drop them off there and babysit them. We have information on how you can register online on the Good to Grow page at KTEP.org, and you can also call the radio station here for more information. Well, before the show, we were talking a little bit about some really interesting things that horticulturers who are sort of doing some interesting things with combining different kinds of plants. And Denise, you were talking about something called the Tomtato.
Yes, that's actually been put out by Thompson and Morgan Seed Company. That's going to be available in early spring, which is just right around the corner. And I think it's important to say, oh, great. Well, let's see what we can put together in grafting and playing around as horticulturalists. But then we have to really break that down and see, is that viable? Is that going to work? Because I know that we're going to get lots of questions on that. So yes, it is possible to graft a tomato top with a potato bottom or a root system.
Why would they want to do that in the first place?
Well, I think it's a great novelty. I think it gets a lot of people's attention to see, wow, that this is something interesting and new and different that I can do, which is always kind of keeps people interested in things. But I think it's important to remember what these plants do and when they like to grow and what conditions they do the best in. And we all know that tomatoes are the number one vegetable crop grown in America, but that is definitely a summer vegetable. So that plant likes warmer temperatures as opposed to the potato that really thrives in cooler weather. So what happens when you stick it outside or in a container and conditions are not right and one dies and the other one's okay? You know, you can't have, if the root dies, the whole plant dies as soon as the warm season comes along. So I think it's important to kind of see that maybe these things are fun and kind of interesting to do, but you may not get a very long-lived plant. I think it's kind of interesting and something coming down the pike, and people need to be aware that maybe it's something we can do, but may not be the best effort to put your gardening ventures into. But potatoes on their own are actually a really good crop to grow, and surprisingly enough, you can grow those in El Paso.
Right. At our demonstration garden at Loop 375 and Interstate 10, at the Texas A&M Research Center, we do have a demonstration garden. We've experimented with potatoes a number of last couple of years, and they've really done quite well. I think they go in about the middle of February or so, and then they're ready to be picked in May. So it's a beautiful crop, and there are different varieties. I think the variety is very important, as it usually is for El Paso, because our temperatures are warm so early and the dryness. But if you'll call the hotline after the first of the year, we can give you the varieties that we recommend. And they're really a lot of fun because I experimented with them personally last year. And the plants grew up to be 12, 18 inches tall, and it's just a beautiful plant.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're certainly decorative, and it is a time of the year where it'll lend itself to growing the potatoes, but yet it's something short-lived because people, there's this interim period where it's really too cold to plant any of our really popular summer vegetables, but those potatoes really fit that mold in there. And I know that, Bill, you've tried growing potatoes yourself, and you've used the mounding method on that, so you have your prepared bed, and then what do you do once you put your potato?
Well, as you put the potato in the ground, you have an option of either planting it very deep, 8 inches or so deep, or planting it just slightly below ground and mounding it as it gets larger. I've experimented with both ways, but if you have an 8-inch deep bed, then that's probably the best, but you got to be sure and get water down to that level. So that's a little tricky sometimes. So in another area, I tried the mounding, and that worked real well too. So I think it's just personal choice.
Right, exactly. I know that our demonstration garden at the Escalate Park, those master gardeners out there use those potato towers, which is actually a narrow, upright, raised garden, if you will. So by adding that soil into the little garden, as the plant grows, you're not planting in the ground, you're planting above the ground. So you can theoretically remove that potato tower, if you will, at the end during the harvest time, and that prevents you having to dig into the ground to get the potatoes out, because I think a lot of people use their spades and their shovels to kind of get in there, and you can ultimately damage your root vegetables in doing that. So maybe that's another way that people maybe with limited mobility or maybe limited space can also use this different crop out here.
Yeah, well, maybe we can do a little presentation on that next spring and show people how to do that.
Definitely. I think that's a great idea. And we have lots of little things coming down the line. So that's great.
And, you know, I'm kind of ignorant about the whole potato thing. You know, I don't think about when I think about a potato, it's the root. I don't think about the plant on top. So what exactly does the potato above the ground look like?
It looks a little bit like a tomato plant, actually.
Huh.
It's got the same kind of leaf, but it's just a very pretty green, very prolific. I'll bring you some in this year. You can look at them. But it's almost decorative.
So how do you start a potato garden? You just put a potato in the ground? Because, I mean, those of us who've kept potatoes in the fridge for too long, you eventually start to see, you know, the little buds start to come out and it starts to sprout. So is that basically the beginnings of a potato? You just stick it in the ground? It doesn't matter what side's up or down?
And you know what? You brought up a really good point. I think the best way to store potatoes would be in a cool, dark location, like a closet is probably the best way, so you can prevent them from sprouting up. Because, yes, it does happen, especially when potatoes are on sale and you buy the huge bag and you don't get to it and the bottom starts sprouting, and if you let it go too long, it's really foul. But yeah, and I think that's a great little science project that I think kids or somebody else interested in sprouting to potatoes would be interested in doing. But however, I don't think that those russet potatoes are the best to grow in El Paso.
But the concept is the same.
The concept is the same.
That's right. You take a potato and you cut it into 4 or 5 segments, make sure each one has at least 2 eyes, and then just put them in the ground. It's that easy. Mm-hmm. It's really quite simple. And I had a production. I measured and calculated. I got about 7 potatoes for every little segment that I put in the ground last year. So it was a pretty good good value. And when you get 7 for 1, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Do the little potatoes do well? You know, the little red ones and the little yellow ones are really popular for like potato salad and stuff.
Oh, yeah, they do really well. And I think one of the most popular ones in El Paso that we grow is the Yukon Gold.
Oh.
It's a really smaller potato, smaller rounded potato. And I just want to clarify, the eye is actually that little bud that spurs out of the potato plant, just in case people are wondering exactly what that is. And that is the actual growing part of the potato. So if you stick a segment in there without an eye or an actively growing bud, then you won't get anything.
This is going to be food for the worms.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, you know what? Speaking of potatoes, because I've always used them in strange ways, did you know that, and I've tried this before, fungus gnat larvae in particular, they eat potatoes. And the strange thing about that is that you can use it as an indicator. Like if you throw a piece of potato into a container with soil, you'll see these fungus gnat larvae eating on the potato itself. And the fungus gnat larvae is a little clear, very small, little worm, maybe about half an inch long at the most. And it has a little black tip on the end. And that will grow up and be a nuisance on your house plants. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of one way to see
them. Indicator that you do have them in
the in the potting soil itself. So yeah, that's just probably, that's another science project.
We've got some good ideas going on in this show.
Right? Is it science project time of the year? I don't know, but there's all your ideas.
I think it always is for kids. You're looking for a weekend project. It's fun to do these kind of things with kids.
Right, exactly. And quick.
Well, another thing that I guess people are sort of experimenting with now are something called microgreens. And I think this is something that people have probably heard, but maybe they don't quite understand the concept. And, you know, we've seen the greens in the salad bar, the alfalfa sprouts and so forth. Mm-hmm. Are those anywhere related to the microgreens?
Yeah, I think, well, microgreens are the newest, greatest thing, I guess, coming off the culinary circuit right now. They're really popular in high-end restaurants. But the main biggest difference between sprouts and microgreens, and we all know sprouts, alfalfa, bean sprouts that we see at our salad bars or for stir fries, you actually eat the entire plant. So if you look at that sprout, you'll see the little cotyledons, the little seed leaves, a very small stem, and then one major root. And all of this is encompassed maybe in, you know, 2 inches at the length of your sprout. And the difference between that and microgreens is microgreens, you only harvest the top of the plant. So you have a little small dish container and you grow out the plants to those cotyledon stages and then one set of true leaves. So it's very quick to be able to grow on a windowsill. It's good for people that have greenhouse space, that you have an in-between time where it's a little bit cool and it's kind of too early to start those tomatoes and squash seedlings. But it's a nice little window where you're able to grow a really quick crop and to be able to kind of add that to your salads. The bad thing about the microgreens is that you get one cut and that's it.
Yeah,
so you have your cut in
that.
Yeah, because when you take that one cut, you remove the growing point of the plant. So you're pretty much done for the season. So, I mean, this is like a 2-week turnaround depending on what type of plant that you choose for that. But people use daikon radishes for that, arugula, Swiss chard, spinach, you name it. A lot of times you'll see commercially available, there'll be like a spicy mix, which has more like spicy, peppery flavored greens, and a mild mix. So those will have different seeds all mixed into one little packet. So it's something really quick, really easy. It takes a very minimal input.
And you're actually going to be having something early in 2014 about microgreens.
Yes, exactly. It's never too early to start thinking of, after the holidays, start thinking about springtime and eating healthy and being active in that sense. So definitely this is maybe one way to supplement your nutrition, or, you know, add a little different flavors to your palate, kind of spice it up a bit. So yes, look for our Extension Master Gardener programs for that. And it's something that a novice gardener can really benefit from.
And we'll announce it here as soon as we find out when the date is.
Great.
All right. Well, we're out of time. But if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners, as Bill was saying, save them up for the beginning of the new year, which is going to be here before we know it.
Yes.
You might want to write the number down for reference, though. The Master Gardener hotline is 566-1276, 566-1276. Again, we're out of time, but we want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.